sunshine, little Uber, liver, liver, leave us.
Good evening and welcome to As the Worm Turns. You are tuned in to KVNF's live call-in gardening show. I'm your host, Jill Spears, in here with my guru gardeners, Lance and Lulu. Good evening.
Hi, everybody.
Good evening. How are you?
Doing great. How about you guys?
Good.
Your hands look like you've been working, Lance. I'm proud of you.
And, you know, instead of sunburn, I'm windburn.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, look what the cat blew in.
Right? I had to put a hat on. Whoa. I had a hat and goggles on today because I was so sick of getting the dust and the wind and everything else.
It was ferocious out there. Mm-hmm. I think all along the western slope of Colorado.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Batten down the hatches.
Mm-hmm.
It is
shake
a call.
Shake things up.
Shake it up. That's what we like.
Mm-hmm.
And it is getting everything moving. And it's a call-in show. 527-486-8186 KVNF now, or an email show if you don't like to call Jeff in the control room. worm@kvnf.org is the email. Jeff's in there. He's the one that gets that jazzy music going all the time.
Yeah, it's really cool.
All right, 527-486-8186 KVNF now. And good weather out there, exciting weather, but freezing tonight. So concern about that.
Yeah.
Freeze warning.
Yeah, I was thinking about covering my peach tree, and as I walked out of the backyard, I thought, nah.
Well, you need a parachute? I mean, how do
it's
that?
Too big. It's too big.
Too big, and you can't push it, put the Christmas tree lights on.
No, I didn't put any Christmas tree lights on.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah.
Darn it, you missed that. And Lance, you're covering, right?
I will cover everything. The tarps are out there where they need to be, and I'll go home and throw them out there and stuff. I did spray the entire garden with kelp this morning.
That's your little spray recipe of kelp
and
just diluted and...
Yeah, and I just... It just sort of helps things go through stress.
Mm-hmm.
I even sprayed the fruit trees, not within the wind. How much are you getting up there?
Yeah.
I sprayed with the wind. I did throw it in.
Wind.
So if I had sprayed into the wind, I would have been a lot.
You would have been kelp.
Big, jolly green monster right now.
Yeah. So, it'll be like that.
You cover your new stuff, your stuff that came up?
I will cover everything, the peas, the beets, the Swiss chard. I figured out which beets are which. Remember I told you?
The mystery beets. Yeah. Oh, okay.
I'll cover even the raspberries. I cover
the
everything.
The raspberries?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I have lilies. I'll cover the peonies.
Asparagus. I don't cover anything.
Yeah.
I figure you're on your own.
Yeah. I just cover them.
You've got it all rigged up.
I mean, I already have it ready. So
right.
So it's easy peasy.
Press the button.
Yeah.
Right.
The potatoes aren't up, so I'm not covering those.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'll freeze off. It doesn't kill potatoes, you know, that you have to plant again. It just freezes off the tops, and then they'll resprout back up.
Gotcha. But not up, so not an issue.
No, not
so much.
Pray for the orchards tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think it's supposed to get all that cold.
Really?
Uh-huh.
I think it's supposed to get cold. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's clear. It's pretty clear right now.
I was talking to somebody, and he looked on his smartphone. Oh, 23.
Oh, that's too cold.
Yeah, that's too cold.
That's too cold. So, but some of our orchards are doing things like we were talking about earlier, like Frank Stoniker, who's been on the show.
Yeah.
He's got greenhouses over his cherry trees now, right?
Cherry trees. And he also has wind machines. I don't know if he's heating, though.
Mm-hmm.
Some people, you're starting to see heating systems.
Frank, if you're out there, give us a call.
Yeah. What's going on up there? Osito.
Yeah, I love that place. That's really nice.
I do, too.
Yeah. And so, you know, whatever it is, it's going to make it. I'm not going to go cover the tulips.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They got to figure that.
Mean woman.
They got to figure that stuff out. You know, they got to figure it out.
Get hardy, or
adapt.
I actually have covered at sometimes have covered all of my daffodils when they're in full bloom, just starting to bloom. I've covered them all.
You know, when you go to your garden, Lance, you can just tell there's a lot of TLC that goes into that. So,
you know what? Can't get over the daffodils have lasted forever. Ever.
They have.
They've been around, and that's the cooler weather.
Yeah, cooler and not as much sun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
great.
Gorgeous.
So it's time for them to go anyway. So see ya. Bye. Good luck. See you next year.
It may be tonight because Jeff is saying Paonia forecasts low 24 and Delta 25. So
oh, crap.
Right in the 20s. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was only going to go down to 27. That's what my phone said. I'm going with my phone. 27.
Okay.
I hope your phone's not in charge of setting off all of the fans and everything because we'd be in big trouble.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Okay, 527-486-8166, KVNF now. And Lulu, you've only been back a couple weeks, and you're heavy duty into cleanup, huh?
Yeah.
You're into it now.
Yeah, yeah. And good also girl. The ditch was on, and then it was off, but now it's on again. So I have water. I'm inspired.
Really? No, you have water without silt?
No.
Silty water.
Yeah, and it's not that bad. It's not that bad.
Okay,
it's not
good.
That awful.
Yeah.
Good.
Well, it's a low water year. It can't...
You're going to take what you get. Yeah. Period. Yeah. End of story.
Yeah. Right. And when you have a compromised ditch, a low water year sounds good.
Yeah, it is compromised. I got to get a hold of... that's another project.
Ditch woes.
Never mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Never mind.
Yeah, but you guys were talking earlier, just as you were chatting, about watering things with cooler water.
Oh,
this is the coolest thing.
This just happened. Yeah. And Lulu has talked about how when you're watering with ditch water, how cold it is and it slows things down. So several weeks ago, I planted I normally do not plant peas as early as I did this year.
All right.
And I planted a patch of snow peas, which is for a seed crop. Then I planted snow peas and snap peas in another area the same day. And I didn't really water the snow peas for seed very much. I watered them, but not very much, you know, and a little bit deeper water. And the other, where the snow peas are and the snap peas together, I was watering every day. And the ones with the snow peas for seed all came up perfectly even and faster. And the ones that I was watering every day came up uneven. They're all up, but they came up uneven and slower. So I was just thinking it was this cold, keeping the ground cold. You know, it was better just to water them deeply and let them sit
go
away for 4 or 5 days.
Yeah. Right, right.
You know, and it's like, wow, look at that.
Yeah, a little different watering technique because of the temperatures.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's something you have to pay attention to. For a couple of weeks from now when you're starting a lot of people aren't way ahead of the game like you are. And as you're putting your garden in here in the next couple of weeks, you pay attention to that.
Yeah.
Soil temperature, water temperature.
Water temperature. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that's going to determine when your seeds germinate.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, we have a couple callers on the line, and we're going to start with Anthony. Good evening, Anthony. Hello.
Hi, Anthony.
Good to hear from you. What's going on?
Thank you, Lulu, for dispelling the rumor that there's a Trader Joe's in Buffalo.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah. That's weird.
Yeah, yeah. I saw Anthony today, so he said, heard there's a Trader Joe's in Buffalo.
Right.
No.
Wishful thinking.
Oh, bummer. Really? I know, but okay, so I'm calling about my old Jonathan apple tree, because I have actually been over in Denver and all over up in Junction at doctors for a long time. But so, because, I mean, I just came home a couple days ago, and, I mean, has it even, it's like the apple should bloom early, right? But I don't think it's even blooming.
No, apples bloom last.
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No, because then I see the stalks and the bergs, all their peach trees are just like,
wham.
You're okay.
You're okay.
Okay. Right. I had that backwards. That's good.
And we want to report on that old Jonathan apple this summer.
Last year it had one apple.
Hey, I had one peach. I had one peach on my peach tree last year.
Okay.
I know, it was like Disney. Yeah. The evil apple. Okay, thanks, guys.
Okay, thanks.
Glad to hear from you. Glad you're well. All right. Thank you, Anthony. And it's Dave in Montrose on the line. Hi, Dave.
How you doing?
Good. What's going on?
Well, I had a comment of my own personal experience on fruit and protecting them. I had a small orchard up on Spring Creek outside of Montrose until recently. But I just wanted to mention the idea of spraying water on it. if you can time it right, water contains, as you probably know, water contains a lot of heat, and it gives up a lot of heat when it turns from water mm-hmm. to ice.
Yeah.
And I had a really great example of this working about four springs ago. Had some pear trees that had some just beautiful blossoms. They looked like, you know, like the cherry trees in Washington, D.C. They just looked so beautiful. Nice. And then, of course, the Polar Express came in that night. And what I did was, a lot of times you have the problem of the wind and the cold at the same time. But this time the wind petered out in the middle of the night. So I turned on my sprinkler system and went out there in the morning with my daughter and took a picture of her next to these beautiful blossoms encased in ice.
Yeah.
Oh, they were so beautiful.
But the thing
is, later on that day, I went back out again, and those blossoms were untouched. They were just in perfect condition,
as
if nothing ever happened. Because what happens is, if you're spraying the water on the blossoms, it keeps them right at 32 degrees. And if it's ice at 32 degrees, it's not going to hurt the blossoms.
Yeah.
If it drops down, like, I don't know, what is it, 26 or 27 degrees,
that's when the damage starts. Yeah.
Yeah, but if you can keep water, a fine mist of water spraying, it hits the ice, releases its heat into the ice, but not enough to melt it, but just enough to keep it at 32 degrees. So it's just that's why you hear every once in a while about farmers, you know, spraying with water and it'll protect them.
Yeah.
So, and when the conditions are right, you can do that. So I just wanted to put in a plug for that because it worked for me once.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. And we get a lot of those nights where we're not super cold, but right around that 32-degree mark.
Yeah.
And it does work.
Yeah, it does work. The trick is that it doesn't get too much colder than that.
Right.
And of course, you do it around three in the morning.
Yeah.
Well, you turn them on at 3 in the morning, so?
Well, when
you start. Yeah, because usually the coldest.
That's the start of the coldest.
Usually around 6 a.m.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just before the sun comes up is the coldest. So if you get it like 3 a.m., get out there and turn on the sprinkler. And of course, you got to protect your sprinkler that it doesn't freeze.
Yeah.
Right,
you know,
right.
Tricky.
Yeah.
Tricky.
Yeah, well, you just drink a lot of water. You'll wake up in the morning.
Yeah.
Or get a kitty cat.
Yeah.
Right.
All right,
okay,
Dave.
That's
awesome. Thanks for sharing that. Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, thanks for the program.
Yeah, thank you for calling.
Yeah, thank you, callers. 527-486-8166. KVNF now. That's something I hadn't thought about. Is that spray
it's
of water?
It's tricky. You know, it's the whole thing is tricky, but boy, if you can pull it off, it's a great and wonderful thing.
Yeah, I've seen, being from Southern California 30, 40 years ago, they used to flood the citrus groves in the wintertime. Flood them, actually, because they were row irrigated, and there was enough water in those times because there wasn't millions of people there.
Right.
And they actually let that water sit in like pools underneath the orchards, and as it cooled off, the water cooled off, the heat went up.
Oh, because it wasn't really freezing, but it was just letting off that heat, like Dave was saying.
Yeah, it was a different thing.
The ice set kind of thing.
Yeah, they would do it that way.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. 527-486-8166, KVNF now, and it is Ellen on the line in Paonia. Good evening, Ellen.
Well, hi there, you all.
Hi.
Howdy.
Yeah. So here I am in Paonia. I'm not much of a gardener, but I do have a lilac bush that's attempting to survive. Do I need to cover it tonight?
What size is it?
It's actually about 10 years old, but it's still not terribly big.
Yeah. Well, it will survive a frost. It just won't bloom. The bloom will, if it's budded out, the bloom will be gone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if you want to throw something over it.
If you can, do.
Yeah. I will. I'm very fond of it. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the thing with the lilacs around here. They bud out so early and then they freeze. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've been watching it like every day.
Me too.
A little more. So.
I know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Me too.
Thank you, Ellen.
Right.
Take care of that lilac.
Thanks, Ellen.
Yeah.
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 All right. Bye.
Most of the lilacs are huge around town.
They're huge, and they're really green, and I was really hoping for a beautiful bud season, but we'll see.
We'll see.
Mm-hmm. We might all have to go to Ellen's.
You know, some will make it. The ones that
they
are
will.
on the street where there's any radiant heat bouncing up and things right. like that, some will make it.
Right.
So.
Okay. Love the callers tonight. Mm-hmm. Isn't that fun?
Yeah. Everybody's getting excited, you know, coming mm-hmm. back from wherever they were in mm-hmm. the early part of spring. And
yeah.
You know, it's time to get rolling.
Yeah. Okay, good. 527-486-8186 KVNF now. Let's talk a little pruning. We talked pruning earlier in the year, mm-hmm. But there's some activity going out there. And what about sage and grapevines? And we'll talk other stuff.
Okay, yeah, we can talk. Sage is a lot one of those plants that people don't prune.
Is this the culinary sage?
This is the culinary sage.
Yeah, we talked to
him. Yeah.
And it gets
getting woody.
Woody, leggier, and eventually you start pruning it real hard and it dies. Because there's no, you can't prune it back to dead wood. It doesn't send shoots up like that.
Uh-oh.
So it's better to prune it every year down to those shoots. You'll see those little shoots. You'll see the stems come up and there'll be little side shoots. And you can't prune to dead wood. Just know that. But if you don't prune it, it just gets bigger and bigger and it does die. And I have a sage plant that I got from Dorothy Crowson's, which is where the Peonia sewer plant is.
Uh-huh.
That house. I've had it for over 20 years.
Whoa.
Yeah.
And because you're pruning it.
I'm pruning it every year.
Every year.
And.
Okay. Good advice.
Yeah. So. Mm-hmm.
I've got a big one too, but I just whacked at it a little bit. I might try to move it, but I don't think it'll move.
Yeah, but the thing is, don't let it just keep on getting bigger.
Yeah, no, right, you got. But you look down on the stem and you see the little sprouts. Jill keeps coming.
I pruned hard.
She pruned hard. Yeah, she's gone after it. Yep. But you'll see the little bits of growth coming out low down on the stems.
Yeah.
And if you have a stem that has the growth cut back to the growth,
right?
If you've got a stem that's wood all the way back to the bottom, get that out of there too, because that's part of the system of pruning. The whole reason you prune is to give shape, light, space to your mm-hmm. trees and shrubs and everything else. Mm-hmm. It applies across the board.
Right.
So, yeah.
You know, some basic rules of pruning are cut. I wrote them down.
Oh, good.
To remind.
Not whack and hack, but some basic rules.
Yeah, no, whack and hack. The rest of y'all have to follow the rules.
Okay.
So you trim out dead wood. Trim out any.
Yes,
trim out branches that cross.
Cross.
Or branches that are rubbing on each other. Trim out. The water sprouts on your fruit trees, those straight
suckers
that just come out everywhere. Get those out of there. Thin them out so that they get light and air. And it's not too late. Oh, you know what I have? I have these galls, these rose girdler things my roses.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going all the way back to wherever the gall is below that. I mean, it's going to look bad, but that's okay. I'm going to get all of them out. And and there's spring bloomers, and you want to prune those after they bloom. So like, lilacs, regalia, mock orange.
Forsythias.
Yeah. And you want them to get a nice shape and a nice look. I always had trouble with that on my mock orange because my mock orange all went in one direction.
Oh, okay. Here's an idea. Just pretend one of those plants is a water fountain spring straight up
and falling outside. Yeah.
That's how you want them to look.
That's what you want them to look like.
Okay. Yep. Yeah, what do you do about those plants that like to go one direction? Like lavender loves to do that.
It's probably a sun thing.
It's a sun thing.
Okay. Yeah, and it for sure it was with the mock orange.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. I just work with it.
Yeah,
right.
I had weights on my mock orange,
and it was. I've seen it.
Yeah,
yeah.
And it worked fabulous, and it looked great for about 3 or 4 years, and then it just got so twisted up. I just said, "Well, adios, muchachos," mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. I whacked it.
Yeah, you're not afraid to do that.
No, I'm not. You know, somebody was asking me about. Oh, Anthony was asking me about a little linden that's under a big what was it? Box elder. And he said, well, what, you know, should I whack this big limb off the box elder so the linden can? I said, nah, just go get another linden tree and plant it where the box elder ain't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get it. Sometimes you just have
gotta
to
make it happen.
Make it happen. Yeah. Yeah. And you know, don't go. I can't get over how everything grows around here.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't be afraid because
it's going to grow.
Yeah,
it's
a couple years, grow. You're going to be so glad you did it.
I was consulting with somebody here in town in Peonia, and they had elm trees all on the foundations. I said, get rid of them.
Oh, right now.
She goes, no, I can't. I says, get rid of them.
You can.
Yes, you can.
Because they will. They'll boost your. They're terrible.
They'll boost your whole driveway.
Yeah, and you'll never get them out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
you know. So you see those suckers while you still can.
Go for them.
Yeah. Here we are. We've been landscaping, yard work, that kind of stuff for 40, 50 years, and both of us have no problem taking things out.
Right.
It's just
good advice.
I took out 2 apple trees and a pear tree this spring.
Yeah,
and the year before, I took out a plum and a peach. So I'm always taking things out.
Yeah,
and starting over.
Now it goes to that whole pruning thing of the light and the space.
Everything changes so fast around here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get rid of the roses in the front of the house, and I'm trying to decide what I want to put on the Rio Grande side.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what I want to put yet. I'm meditating on it.
Yeah, that's a big, big project.
It's a big project, yeah. I'll get some help to do that, I think. But actually, Wind wants the roses in the front.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, so that's great. Those rugosa roses, the wild roses, the red leaf rose. Rosa rugosa rubifolia.
Rose of rugosa.
Whatever.
Okay.
527-486-8-1-866, KBNF now. We have a little bit of time left, and I want to talk soil prep and compost tea.
Oh, well, last week we mentioned a little bit of soil prep of what I was doing, and I felt like you don't have to do it that way. There's hundreds of ways to do soil prep, from no-tilling to broad fork and not turning the soil at all. I like to turn my whole garden in the fall, and then I till in the spring, and that's all it's done. You can use compost if you have it. You can use whatever type of manure works for you that's available, or organic matter if it's, you know. And the timing, if you're going to use manures, it's really best if you can let it sit for 2 weeks after tilling it in.
Before you plant.
Before you plant. And wherever you're going to plant potatoes, do not put manure there.
Yeah, too much nitrogen.
Better to not put anything and just mulch them. Use that mulch as it's. Breaks down over the years, the fertilizer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so whatever works for you, don't, you know.
Yeah, there's sheet composting and soil prepping and, you know, all of that.
And what's that spaghetti composting or mulching where they do the different layers?
Lasagna. Yeah, lasagna.
Lasagna.
Lasagna. Spaghetti lasagna. Yeah.
Whatever.
Okay.
Mozzarella. No. Yeah, and that's what you do. You just put your layers in and go for it. And if you want to control weeds, if you've got an area where you want to control weeds, layer, you know.
Cardboard.
Cardboard works great.
Carpet? Don't you have something carpet going?
I was weeding a little bit today, and I found some of the carpet that's been under there forever.
Avocado green carpet.
Yeah, it is. It's green. It was Hattie's carpet. And I found some strings. I went, oh, look, Hat's carpet is still here.
Yes.
And
weed-free.
Yeah, and it's weed-free. I mean, I wasn't weeding. I was edging. I was just pulling the grass back because the grass is perfectly happy on top of it. And, that's the story.
Okay. And if you have compost, make compost tea.
Yeah.
Period. Okay. End of story.
Let's talk about what that is, compost tea, because there's all kinds of different recipes and or methods or whatever you want to do.
Do whatever you want. You go first.
Okay. I'll go first. Well, I have a 50-gallon drum, and I take a 5-gallon planting bucket that you buy plants in. And it already has the holes in the bottom. And I drilled holes in the rim and put baling twine through that. And that's the handle. And I fill that up with layers of compost and horse manure, because that's what I have at this point in time. Actually, first of all, I have a brick in the bottom of it.
Okay.
Because these materials are so light.
They're so light.
That when I fill the 50-gallon drum up with water, that bucket will float onto its side.
Oh, really?
So the brick in the bottom of that bucket is the weight to keep it in the water.
Okay.
And, ballast.
Yeah. And I let that sit for anywhere from sometimes just overnight to sometimes 5 or 6 days whenever I get to it. And then I take that out. I put a little bit of kelp in it. And I'm watering. What did I water? All my spinach, all the asparagus plants that I've transplanted. God, I got 18 of 21 that have come up.
Great.
Yeah. So, great asparagus looking.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. I did the young fruit trees. I did the peas, the sweet peas and the snow peas and stuff.
Most everything's getting compost tea?
When
you have it?
When I have it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not something I do every week. I've seen that if you do it every week, it's too much. It's better at most every 2 weeks.
Yeah, I don't even do it that much. And I have about a 30-gallon tub. But, it's an old garbage can. And it just it has a top and everything. So I use a paint strainer. And I put probably, you put 5 gallons. I probably put in about 3 gallons
mm-hmm.
worth of compost. And my compost is compost and chicken manure and because I have the chickens, I scrape their manure mm-hmm. off the shelf and keep that. And I make a tea bag, and I do the same thing. I suspend it in the thing, and I'm going to start putting a rock in the bottom because I can see how that would help. And I just it's black, and I sit it in the sun, and I let that bugger get hot. And that works phenomenal. It's can be stinky, but sometimes it's just fine.
And we were talking earlier about there's some plants, comfrey, and that you you can put in there, and stinging nettle you can put in there. They're quite high in nutrients.
Yeah, there was a recipe that I knew of, I read or got somewhere many, many, many years ago. It was comfrey, nettle, and tansy, and alfalfa.
Yeah,
and that it was an and you made a compost. Now that will stink as it's mm-hmm. fermenting.
Yeah,
because you just put all the stuff in it raw.
Yeah,
but boy, that was pretty amazing too. That was a good recipe.
Is the idea of tea an absorption thing or
just
a different
it's a fertilizer.
Method of application?
Yeah, it's just easy to mm-hmm. spread around.
And spread around, and the biodynamic compost teas they mm-hmm. aerate it.
Right, they aerate it.
They mm-hmm. actually put an aerator, like fish aquarium aerator.
Right.
Just stick it in there and keep it.
Yeah, or it runs down, it's amazing. Karen von Gontard has this thing that it drops from one shell, looks like a seashell, and it's like a ladder of seashells. And then it goes back around and does it again.
Yeah, and I guess if you don't have your own compost pile, you can always go to like a farm and home store mm-hmm. where they make compost tea every week and get a gallon or two of that.
You can get the stuff you can get down here at Farm and Home is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the one main trick with using it, the ground has to be moist.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Otherwise, it just runs off
dry. It just runs
off dry ground.
Right.
So you need to water the day before or the evening before.
Yeah, make sure your soil is ready to receive.
And then it just soaks right in.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, good information there. And we're about out of time, but Lance, could you just quickly run through your list of what you've planted
week? I planted the first bed of carrots, onions for storage onions, lettuce, spinach, cilantro, green onions. I mentioned fenugreek, but I also planted fennel for fennel seed.
Oh, okay.
There's two different things. There's many types of fennel, but fenugreek is the bulb fennel, and then I planted another one that's fennel for some fennel seed that you make tea or you eat or you cook with.
Okay.
And then I planted black seeded Simpson lettuce for a seed crop because I realized I was almost out of seed.
And you already have seed crop carrots planted.
Carrots are planted, the beets are planted, and the onions are planted.
So this is your first bed this week of edible carrots.
Edible carrots. The carrots for a seed crop are planted like 2 or 3 weeks
ago. Yeah, they've been going. All right. How exciting. Everything's...
Silent Spring, 65th anniversary of this book.
Okay.
You want to read it. Put it on your list. And I just was noticing the chapter I opened to today was about how the discovery that the DDT was killing off the birds happened in about 1958.
And here we are today,
and
2018.
Here we are 65 years later, and the birds have recovered quite happily.
The birds are fabulous right now. I'm just sitting outside listening to the birds. It is wonderful. Thank you, birdies.
And notice it, you guys, because that's your deal.
It is. Notice it. It's beautiful. And thank you to gardeners for being here again this week and sharing all your tips and information.
Thank you, Jill. Yeah.
Thanks to our callers.
Yeah, thanks to everybody. Woohoo!
Woohoo! Thanks to Jeff. It's One Woman's Perspective. Coming up next, thanks for listening to KVNF.
All right. Have a good evening.
Good night.
Bye, everybody.
You're apt to make a sign to I got a gal that I love so low, little low and low.